You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of January 17th, 2024. And the games are coming.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Albor.
My name is Scott Juster.
And this is a serious but humorless conversation about video games. 2023 is dead to us.
We've moved on.
It's over. We did all of our wrap-ups last year. The Goaties, the Gamies, and all of those leftovers. We are now finally, firmly, in the year of our Lord 2024, looking ahead at some of our highly anticipated games. Before we get to it, one of the things that we like to do at the beginning of this episode is just quickly touch base on games that have been delayed and continue to be delayed that we think maybe, you know, maybe they'll come out this year, maybe they won't come out this year. One thing I wanted to call out before recording, I did listen to our call outs last year. Both you and I were certain Armored Core 6 would not come out in 2023.
So, man, they nailed that game. Like we looked at that and we were like, this is a CG trailer. There's no game here.
There was jack all.
Yeah, and they were like, check this out. Boom, we're done. And they're like, oh.
Okay. Took us by surprise. I will say we got most of them right. We did say Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, not likely to come out.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, it did not.
Yeah.
Pragmata, remember that Capcom, like, might be a dead game now. There's like a robot and a little girl, looked kind of like Death Stranding.
It's so funny. Like we didn't hear anything about that game the rest of that year, I feel like.
I don't think it's coming out even this year. I think that game is probably dead.
I was kind of checking through the release calendar and stuff, and I don't even remember seeing it. So I think you're right.
Yeah. We did say 50-50 on Lies of P, which did come out. But hey, you know what? Those are the odds.
Not only did it come out, it was like one of the games of the year, some may say.
A goatee contender. Yeah, absolutely. Man, are there any games that you're excited for this coming year that you think won't come out? I'll say right now, like, do you think Hades 2 is really going to come out?
I was just going to say, obviously they're going to do the early access this year, but I would be very surprised if they shipped 1.0 this year.
I agree. Yeah. It just feels like they are the studio that is going to give this game the time that it deserves because there's so much hype and anticipation. There's no way they're going to rush it. We haven't seen a ton out of it. It has not yet gone into early access, right? Or has it?
I think it's impending. Like, I think it's pretty close to it, if not already.
It's coming. It's coming. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other one that I think might still not come out because we haven't seen anything about it is the Elden Ring DLC.
I know, it's so weird.
Shadow of the Erdtree.
But like, that would be how many years? Two plus years since it came out?
I mean, I expected it during Jeff Keighley's thing.
Yeah,
true. Like during the Game Awards and nothing. I mean, it probably will come out. Let's be real. I think it probably will come out, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was like late this year.
Yeah.
I haven't seen nothing.
Maybe they're going to do the Armored Core thing. I mean, it's the same developer. Maybe they're going to do the Armored Core thing and be like, check it out, it's done.
Shit, maybe it came out tonight. Yeah, I don't know. That's a very good point. You're right. We're almost certainly wrong. Anything else that you think are like, unlikely to come out?
I don't know if it's unlikely to come out, but it's still strange. Have they put a date on Hellblade yet?
They have not. No, they've just said 2024.
So weird.
I know. That's a weird one, too.
Because they have to get it. I mean, like, they've been developing it. They've been talking about it. It's had multiple announcements. I mean, yeah. I don't know. That's one that is, it's on my list, too, of games I would definitely like to play this year.
You know what I also think is strange? This last year had so many fucking bangers back-to-back all year long. But looking at this year ahead, it feels light to me. Like, I genuinely feel like by some weird, I don't know if it's this is the COVID sort of catching up to itself thing because it takes so long to develop games. I don't know if it's just a weird fluke, but compared to last year, it feels very light. Now, I know there are some games that will come out that we just haven't heard of, some indie titles that are going to blow us out of the water that we just cannot even anticipate or know about right now. But looking at the slate, like, I don't see a whole lot of big hitters that are especially like classic IP from known properties, right? Like, yeah. We don't have a new Gears of War yet, right? Yeah. Like,
who knows what's up with Halo?
Naughty Dog is releasing The Last of Us 2 for the 15th time. Like, you know, like, yeah, what's going on out there for like the heavy hitters?
It's well, and beat thanks to the sketchy and unfortunate Insomniac leaks, like, we kind of know that. I think Wolverine isn't until like 26 or something.
That's right.
And, like, the next Spider-Man isn't until that time frame or later. I mean, there's kind of at least for some of those big first party studios out there, it seems like this is not necessarily going to be a huge year.
Well, and we don't even have anything big from, we have one game from Nintendo, which we'll probably talk about, but there's no like mainline Mario games this year, because we just had a kind of a surprise one last year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was going to start with that, which, and I have this as a question mark on my list of anticipated games, because it is widely believed, and, you know, different development studios have confirmed that they have, you know, development kits and all that stuff. There will likely be
for the next hardware.
Yeah, there will be new Nintendo hardware, and if there's new Nintendo hardware, there has to be new Nintendo games. And if you look at the release calendar after, I don't know, Princess Peach or something like that, like if you look at the middle of the year onward, there's nothing from Nintendo, and that cannot be the case, you know?
Well, I also saw reports that they were pulling some big games from the marketplace as well, likely to update their SKUs due to the impending new hardware. So I think that's spot on.
Yeah.
But what is it launching with? Like, is this a Metroid Prime scenario?
I bet Metroid Prime is going to be a cross-generation game. Like, I bet they're going to put that on the Switch and Switch successor.
Switchier.
The Switcheroo.
The Switchiest. Switcher 2.
The Super Switch. I think...
Toss a coin to your Switcher.
Don't even joke about that, because they're going to make some sort of like NFC, you know, NFC like amiibo style coin system or whatever for that thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't know if I'm pretty sure the Super Mario, the 3D Super Mario team has been working on something, and they were not the same team as did Super Mario Wonder. And so I think that's probably what you see.
God. Now that you've said that, that's the game I'm most fucking hyped for. So, I'm like, oh, I love a good 3D Mario on a new piece of hardware. Ugh.
Well, and the last one we got was Bowser's Fury, the like mini open world one. So, I mean, who knows what they're experimenting with over there?
Yeah, very cool.
But I think that and some sort of Metroid Prime, probably, because they do that a lot. Like they straddle generations with Twilight Princess from GameCube to Wii. They straddled generations with Breath of the Wild from Wii U to Switch, and like, so I don't think they're shy about kind of doing a double release for some of that the kind of borderline games, and I feel like Metroid Prime has been out there for quite some time.
Yeah, agreed. All right, well, shall we get into it, our anticipated games?
I feel like
you got a big list, you said.
I had a fair number of items on the list, but I thought the same thought as you in terms of there's not necessarily a huge amount of known quantity. AAA games. There's a bunch of like independent stuff happening or quasi-independent stuff, but what I started seeing was there's a lot of games that there's actually a lot of new IP, which is weird.
Yeah.
It feels like that's kind of the cycle we're in of like, okay, these were greenlit. They probably got, delayed because of all the craziness with, you know, the supply chain and the pandemic and all that stuff. But like, there's a bunch of them. So like, I won't go in any like particular order, but one that caught my eye, which is supposed to be March, is called Rise of the Ronin. And that's from Team Ninja.
That's on my list too.
Yeah.
The trailer for this game looks awesome.
Yeah.
It looks like it is a very intense. I mean, I hate to do it. I feel like I do it all the time. Like the Souls-like or whatever.
Yeah.
but it is and Team Ninja's been doing this for a while, but a very precise, you know, samurai experience. I think it looks awesome.
Definitely. And I mean, it's that studio is well known for making just extremely action oriented games, and you know, this thing looks like it could straddle the line between something like Sekiro and Ghost of Tsushima in terms of what it's going for.
It looks
very cool, and also it's been like pretty close. I mean, it seems like it's a very solid release date on it.
It looks really challenging as well. Like the trailer looks like it is a brutal experience. Maybe that's helped by, I think there's no UI in the trailer at all.
Yeah.
Even though it's clearly gameplay. So maybe it's like it's difficult to fully grok, like, you know, how fluid that experience is going to be. But yeah, I agree. That's on my list as well. Yeah. Rise of the Ronin. Yeah.
Good what one. Else is on your list?
Let's get a couple big ones out of the way, mm-hmm. just because we know. We already talked Hellblade, Senua's yep. Sacrifice.
I'm there.
50-50, but we're there day one.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Oh my God, close, by the way.
I get more and more hyped. It's weird, like unnaturally so, right? Like it feels like it's been a while since the Final Fantasy VII Remake, such that I've kind of forgotten, like, okay, I loved it, but I forgot some of the details of it. As I'm watching trailers for Rebirth and knowing that it's coming, I'm just getting increasingly hyped because, again, it is an unknown quantity, like what they're going to do with this world. And you see these characters in, God, again, I don't mean to fall for nostalgia, but dude, like they show Cid there and I'm like, I fucking hated Cid. You know what I mean? And I was like,
this
we
is
talked
the
about
redeeming
it.
Cid.
We talked about it, I think, in our Final Fantasy VII debrief. That was like, Cid just kind of sucks. They should remove him from Rebirth or from the remake. But having played the first remake, now I'm fucking chomping at the bit. Like, what do they do with Cid? Do they repair his character? Because he's kind of an asshole in Final Fantasy VII. So I'm getting increasingly hyped for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. There's no way I can commit to a replay of a remake, but I do intend to watch like maybe an actual play or maybe like all the cutscenes back to back and just sort of refresh my memory.
Got to get some recaps to like, you know, see what they're they left things.
Yeah.
Last I played on it was the DLC, so that I had a little bit more recent of a taste. That had Yuffie in it, so like they had already started reintroducing
that. And then the last big one that I just want to get out of the way, Hollow Knight Silksong. It's probably going to come
like
out
this year. That's like a Hellblade scenario. Like, where is that game?
We have had it on our list at least twice. This would be third year that we've had it on the list. Yeah.
Easily.
Which is pretty wild.
Man. All right. There's a couple other games that look big budget that were kind of, but that were new. One is called Banishers, Ghosts of New Eden.
Yes. What is this?
It looks kind of like a third person action Souls like inspired game, but it's from Don't Nod, which is super interesting because they went from I'm blanking on it. What's the what's it called?
The sort of top down survival game.
No, they were the team that did the adventure game about the time
Life
travel.
Life is strange.
Is strange. And then they were the ones that did Jusant from last year, which is also very different from
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Fuck, I gotta finish Jusant. I really like this team.
Yeah, and so I've just been increasingly interested in what they're doing, and like maybe Jusant was like almost a kind of a stepping stone for like some things they were testing out for like a even bigger scoped game, and so that stuff, I find that stuff really interesting. So I'm excited about that game.
It's cool to see them branch out and try new things. That's a good one. That's a good one.
There's another game called Black Myth Wukong. Have you heard of this game?
Yes, because again, I am now somehow attuned to all games that try to be Souls-likes that use like, you know, free IP.
Yeah.
So naturally, as a Liza P fan, I'm probably going to be playing this Wukong game.
It's like, hold on, stop me if you heard this one before. There's a monkey warrior.
There's
a monkey king.
Yeah, is this is this not the most told story of all time?
I feel like it's either that or the Yellow Turban Rebellion or something like that. Like, you know, just in terms of like the thousands and thousands of years of history in China or whatever, of how many times this has been told. Like, I feel like these are the two ones, you know?
It's pretty wild. But this one, this one will truly capture it.
Yeah, I mean, it's very striking looking.
It is.
And it's from a, although unfortunately, as I was researching it, it looks like the developers might be pieces of shit. So like, uh-oh, it might be one of those that I decide, look, I don't know.
You can't throw a rock in the games industry and not hit a piece of shit.
I guess that's very true. But like, so I guess we'll figure it out. But again, not necessarily like, to your point, not like a new IP in terms of, human history, but but like a new IP in terms of like the spin that they're giving it for video games, at least.
Yes, for sure. I agree. That one looks pretty cool. Man, there's like a lot of action games there up front and center.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. I'll name one that I will caveat, because I still to this day continue to work for Ubisoft. So flag that. And generally speaking, I don't play Ubisoft games almost as a rule. With the exception of Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle, because those games are great.
The all-time bangers.
But I have not been excited about a Ubisoft game for a while, just because, you know, it hits too close to home. But Star Wars Outlaws looks pretty fucking cool.
I was gonna say that too, where I was like, and it's one of those on the bubble where it's like, the size and scope of this game is just extremely daunting. So like, I wouldn't be surprised if this is a 2025 game period.
Well, it's also you know, again, I have no inside information about Star Wars Outlaws or its development cycle, no idea, but yeah, I could see that being a thing.
I mean, it seems the Star Wars franchise has, I feel like, you know, what with the Jedi Survivor and also Respawn is doing that other Star Wars, it feels like the Star Wars games are kind of in a good place all of a sudden, and this game looks pretty cool. I think this game I'm excited about because I was talking to Hana about this, where every couple of months I try to like gently tell her that she should watch Andor.
Hell yeah, dude. Andor's so good.
Well, and I was like, look, if you watch Andor and the first season of The Mandalorian, you will remember why you liked Star Wars.
Yes. Yes.
And I feel like Star Wars Outlaws could be a potential one of those where it's like, you know what? The universe for Star Wars is fucking cool. It's just that they make terrible movies out of it.
Yes.
And so it's like, this is, I don't know, it just has a good potential to be in that same vein.
And what gives me hope is that it's not focused on a Jedi.
Yeah.
Because it feels like that story is so trodden and it's so easy to fall back on. Yeah. The Star Wars tropes of like, oh, I'm being lured by the dark side, or like, you know what I mean?
Saw this
like,
so many times.
Or I'm too much of a goody two shoe. Like, there's just that walked on it, and like, not to throw shade on Jedi Survivor, I think those games are really great. But you and I have talked about it. One of the reasons Star Wars is awesome is there are so many stories in that universe that can be told that are not focused on a Jedi, and this is actually one that they're trying to, you know, do something with. I think that's great.
We should like, you know. We should give this game like an honorary place in the gamies if they make it through the entire game without invoking any Skywalkers.
Yes. Ugh. I mean, I don't know if they can. Like, are you allowed to do that in the Star Wars world? Because I have heard rumors that they're bringing Daisy Ridley back for more Rey stories in the Star Wars universe.
I mean, isn't she technically a Palpatine or something? So like, they could like.
Have you not seen the last film?
Oh right, she's a Skywalker now. Changes her name. God damn it.
Yeah.
Are the laws on Tatooine binding? Like, do I have to recognize that? Like, is her passport?
Yeah, her passport, her ID has been changed. All that good stuff. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, excited for that. Not necessarily like. I mean, whatever. Get it done. I would be. I'm very eager to play a well-considered Star Wars game, because even those Jedi games, they came in pretty hot. Like, there was a lot of patching that needed to be done. I'm more than willing to wait around if that game slips.
Yeah. Agreed. Well, all right, what else?
There's a couple smaller games that.
So I was gonna say, actually, that's the last AAA game that I have on my list at all. That's what's wild to me is like I have maybe like three that we know.
Yeah.
Right, like Senua's Sacrifice or Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. And then this, and like that, that's pretty much it. And now it's the rest are just cool indies.
Right. Oh, wait, I have one question before we go on to the small games. What is a Dragon's Dogma?
Dragon's Dogma, I remember playing this a long time ago because the game came out, what, in like, I want to say, hold on, let me just look it up. Dragon's Dogma came out.
A long time ago.
Super long time ago.
Because Dragon's Dogma 2 is coming out, supposedly.
Supposedly, yes. 2012 was its release date. May of 2012. So more than a decade later. Take that, Alan Wake 2.
I can't wait for the musical interlude in Dragon's Dogma 2.
Dragon's Dogma was an open world action game that reminded me, it had like the, to me, the way that I remember it, and again, this is 2012, so my memory is failing, but I remember thinking it felt like a mix of World of Warcraft in its open world adventure, but Skyrim or Bethesda-like of its expansive story. Now, it didn't ever get to like the Dragon Age, by the way, where's that game? The Dragon Age level. But I really enjoyed it. I know there was some controversy because, okay, I'm pretty sure this was the game that sold to like Philadelphia. Remember, like the city or the state owned.
You are Dragon's Dogma? No, you're thinking of a different one. Yes, I can't.
Okay, that was a weird time.
No, because that was, it was also the Kurt Schilling one. Like he was, yes, was funding it. I'll remember it in a second because my brain is broken. But like, yeah, I know what you're talking about though. I think Dragon's Dogma was just a weird Capcom game because Capcom makes strange games. But it's one of those things where like between, I feel like Monster Hunter has fundamentally changed Capcom because now they're able to be like, fuck it, let's make Dragon's Dogma 2 because we're printing that Monster Hunter money, you know, and the Street Fighter game hit pretty hard last year. So it feels like they are just in this position to check out these, you know, and to put out these new and updated versions of some weird classics that have come out.
I mean, more power to you. Those Monster Hunter games are gas, dude. They they're killing it. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, but it's one of those games where I'm almost kind of scared of it, where I'm like, oh no, what is this? Like you know what? In the same way as kind of Monster Hunter is, where it's like, there's such a rabid fan base, like a hardcore fan base of this game, that I kind of don't know what it is. It almost feels adjacent to Nier. Like the people that got on board with Nier before Nier Automata. Where it's like, these people know about something. I don't know what it is. I'm a little worried about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm right there with you. Right there with you.
All right. What else? Into small games. Maybe hit us with a smaller game.
There is a game from the team that made Gree called Neva. Huh. We have not seen much of this, other than it looks beautiful and it's got some big freaky wolf thing a la Princess Mononoke.
Huh. That's cool.
Yep. Excited.
I really like that game. I would be very interested in playing. I don't know if they've done anything since that game, right?
Not that I know of. Yeah. So I'm excited to see what they come up with next. Yeah.
Nice.
I got more. You want another one?
Yeah. Keep them coming. By the way, what we were thinking of was Kingdoms of Amalur.
Yeah. Yes, there you go.
Let me just Google this real quick to make sure I'm thinking of it. Yep, that is what it is.
Was it Philadelphia? Who owned it?
I think it was Rhode Island. I think the state of Rhode Island got involved or something like that. Like, it was messed up.
Look, we asked for state-funded games.
Here we are.
State-funded arts. Okay, there's a game called Core Keeper that's currently on Early Access.
Core Keeper.
So I'm predicting this is going to be one of my most played games if it fully releases this year. This is a mining sandbox game that is a mix of Stardew Valley and Valheim. Like, there are bosses to fight. Whoa. It's multiplayer, up to 8 players. Every year, there's some game like Valheim, right? V Rising was this for me as well, where I just invest a bunch of time with like 2 or 3, you know, buddies or something, and then just have a blast. I think Core Keeper could be one of these.
Is it like a survival style? Like you're
yep, you still have to fight. I think it's friendlier than that, and it certainly has a friendlier aesthetic than that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you still are fighting things, crafting things, you're managing a farm and using those resources to delve deeper and deeper into the mine. And again, there's different regions and biomes and different enemies that you find therein. It is an early access, and I think the reaction so far has been really, really strong. The biggest challenge for me is not playing these games when they're in early access, because inevitably, like Valheim or V Rising, I play in early access, I get bored of it, I stop playing, and then all the good stuff comes out, but it's too late. Like, it's, you know, I'm gone, I'm done with it. So
this game looks cool. I mean, it's it looks like it's a neat, you're right, like there's like a friendlier aesthetic to it.
Yes. Yeah, I think that'll be a cool one.
All right, there is another small game that I had on my list. It's called The Plucky Squire.
Oh, I remember this one. Yes.
This is the game where you transition between like a 2D flat storybook aesthetic and then every once in a while jump out of the book into like a 3D world that you're traversing.
This game looks awesome. I think it looks super, super cute because it's like a melding of comic books and what was that like colorful art game that you played?
Chicory.
Chicory, right, yes. Which I still haven't played yet.
It does have very strong Chicory vibes, and then all of a sudden it pops out of the book, and then there's like a whole other thing going on.
Yeah, that's cool. Does that have a release date? Is that coming?
I'm pretty sure.
I think it's just 2024
I think it's just 2024. Yeah. So it's one of those. But they've been talking about it for a while. Like, I feel like this was a Summer Game Fest thing, or maybe even last year Game Awards thing.
Yeah, that seems really cool. I like that one. I'm going to keep us on the open world co-op experience. Yeah. Hyperlight Breaker.
Oh, that's on my list too.
Ooh. Now, you are a big Hyperlight Drifter fan.
I loved Hyperlight Drifter. I still listen to the soundtrack of that game.
I think I played it very briefly, but I never finished it. Did not invest as much time. Yeah. This experience, though, an open world roguelite that's co-op in particular, has me really jazzed. And it looks just as stylish and neat as Hyperlight Drifter, right?
Yep. It's they're doing their I mean, Hyperlight Drifter was a homage to, you know, Legend of Zelda, Super Nintendo era, and they're making their break into, you know, 3D. Their last game was 3D World too. It was what was it called? I forget. It was the one where you were kind of surfing through the world and like picking up gems to kind of keep your momentum going. And it looks like they're taking some of that stuff into this game too.
Oh, The Pathless?
No, I know what you're talking
about.
It's
a different game. It was called like
Astral Plane or something.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I forget exactly what it was called, but it was a similar thing where like it was more of a momentum-based thing, but it was still that kind of neon future aesthetic.
Yeah. Sweet. Yeah.
I'm excited about this game. I really like that first Hyperlight game.
Sweet. What else?
We didn't talk about it, but I think I will probably end up playing a bunch of Princess Peach Showtime, thanks to my daughter, because she is obsessed with Princess Peach.
This is on my list too. I mean, we've
to the point where I have to refer to her as Princess Peach.
Your daughter?
Yes.
Do you?
She corrects me.
Do you ever use Peach? Princess Peach, just Princess? Does she demand the honorific?
It depends on how surly she is at any given day, but like I can sometimes get away with Peach, but sometimes she'll correct and say Princess Peach. And so, I mean, just she's going to, if she catches wind of this game, she's going to go nuts. And I feel like I, you know, it also seems like a game that is probably pretty approachable, all things considered. Like, we tried to play some Mario Wonder together as a family, and like at a certain point you just get left in the dust if you're too little, you know.
Yeah Princess Peach actually looks pretty cute, pretty charming. I'm into it.
I could see this being a kind of like Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker, where it has that look where they're almost doing a diorama.
Yeah, there was a Mario game that felt like a play with everything being on cardboard cutouts. That kind of was what it reminds me of as well.
Yeah, they're doing similar things, and that also then tends to kind of rein in what you could potentially be doing in any given scene in a way that might be a little bit more manageable. So I predict that I'll probably play a fair amount of that game.
Yeah, that'll be a good one.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Now I feel like there's a lot of games I want to talk about that we won't have time for. Ghost Bike.
Ghost Bike. I don't know about this game, but I mean, you know, those two words together.
This is a bike simulator. They call it a bike sim. It's clearly not a simulator. This is being published by Annapurna. It's by the folks who made Nidhogg.
And
it's got this beautiful cel-shaded art style, and it looks like just kind of an interesting vibe cycling game. But also, you've got like a ghosty skull on the front of your bike. So there's something else is afoot. But I like the vibes. This past year was the year of vibes. I think 2024, we're going to keep that vibe train going.
Yeah.
Cycling, I think, is something where if I had a lot more free time and a little bit slightly more passion about it. Cycling is something that I would get into. Like, I really enjoy, not me doing cycling, that's never going to happen, but watching cycling. Like, there's just something fascinating about that. So if there's like some kind of connection to the world, but it's got the Annapurna Nidhogg creators kind of style, then that's got my interest.
Nidhogg. I mean, it's just like the, yeah, I mean, that, that heritage already makes me excited about what they could be doing with that.
One of the best two-player fighting games ever made.
Okay, let me do a little bit more here. This one, we haven't talked about this one yet, but Baby Steps.
Yes, I know. When you laughed, I knew where you were going to go. Hell yeah, dude. I mean, look, if Ben Affati's involved, I'm going to be paying attention.
Speaking of, I mean, like, speaking of weird heritage, I mean, just the idea of like the realization, like just the it kind of feels like in almost a Kojima-esque way, like the scope has gotten so large for this game, and Ben Affati continues to be such a mad scientist weirdo. Like, this is like clearly the biggest scoped thing that he's ever put out commercially, and it just looks ridiculous, and I'm completely on board.
Yeah, so am I. I've always wanted to be a drunk man who's forgotten how to walk. You know what I mean? So finally I can live the dream. That's a good one. I will say Little Nightmares 3 as another one I'm really excited for. This is one I think I've talked about every now and then because I've played both 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But it's never, they've never been games that made my top lists.
Yeah.
And I know you've never touched them really.
Yeah.
But I think each of them have gotten progressively better. And the world they're building with Little Nightmares is increasingly interesting.
Yep.
Some of the horror elements from Little Nightmares 2 are absolutely chilling. Like some of the stuff with the, there's mannequins that only move when you're not looking at them, things like that. Like it just, it's super, super effective. I think they're hitting a stride. I'm very excited for Little Nightmares 3.
Let's see. I mean, there's a bunch of that. There's a lot of other like smaller things or things that I've like seen quickly. There's a new Secret of, there's a new like Secret of Mana game coming out.
Yeah. Is that this year though?
I mean, maybe. I think this is where the list starts to get a lot sketchier. I mean, they've tried to re-release a lot of those games and like, and you know, update them or whatever. So it seems like they were kind of building to this. It does make me a little bit nervous because I'm not seeing any sort of date or anything around it. And but the aesthetic of it is clearly going back to the Super Nintendo characters, which I think is funny. Like even like how the characters look, and it seems like they're trying to modernize it in terms of like, you know, the way that our action RPGs work in a kind of post Squaresoft, you know, new Squaresoft world, like a Final Fantasy VII remake type of world, like that. That sort of stuff looks like it's taking its influence here.
Yeah, for sure. Before we wrap, let me ask you, what is your take, and maybe this is a conversation for another day, but the slew of remakes that we know are coming. Like, well, rather, many will be coming. Some we know about already. Braid is getting a remake with like,
what are they doing commentary. To it? Are they going to update it at all, or like what's the deal?
I don't think they're updating it. I mean, maybe visually they're updating it,
right?
But I know it's coming with a lot of like developer commentary, which you know, I think my mileage has ran out for my patience with Mr.
Well, it
Blow.
Also is unfortunate because Jonathan Blow has continued to kind of go down his whole weird techno libertarian hole or whatever, and so it's it makes it harder, but like, it's hard to overstate how important that game was to us in 2008.
Yeah, I agree. But it's also just one of those weird things where, like, what we praised it for, games have evolved by leaps and bounds, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If you had gone back to you and I having just finished Braid and we're like, oh, it's so deep. There's so much story here. And it's like,
we should start a website and then here we are.
Yeah, ludonarrative resonance or whatever. And then gave us, like, Alan Wake 2 or something. We'd be like, what? Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah. There's something about that. And on that note, Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons is also getting remade.
Also,
which again,
very strange to me. Why? I don't know. Yeah, I don't get it.
It's a great game, and I'm glad more people are trying it. But like, it felt, I don't know. It's so weird to, because I don't want to throw shade on these experiences, but Brothers, here we are. Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons. It was very good, but it feels like we've done better since then, right? Like, that was the moment where I was like, oh, you're using the controller in a really interesting way to build up to one single payoff, and it's like a cool puzzle game. But I don't think it's worthy of like a huge remake. Like, this doesn't strike me as something that was needed per se.
I mean, I guess the one reason I could see is that it feels like the platforms have evolved a lot since then, where like you could put out a remake and there's just more people playing games. There's Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons strikes me as a great game that could find a new life on Game Pass.
Yes.
Yeah. And so like, I feel like we're now at this point where, oh, like games that maybe didn't find as much of an audience because they were weird and arty in the like early 2010s or whatever. Now like the audience has expanded. Yeah. And so like, it's like, oh, let's take another crack at this. So I agree with you, by the way, but like, it's also just, I don't quite know who the audience for that game is.
Yeah. I mean, again, 2013, like that's super old now. It just strikes me as weird. Like, what are the next games that we're going to get remakes for? Because I thought we were limited to classics for a while, right? Like, oh, we were only going to get remakes of Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Right. And then we started getting like remakes for The Last of Us 2, even though the game is like pretty fresh.
You know? Yeah.
And now we're getting remakes of like indie darlings. So, like, are we going to get What Remains of Edith Finch? Are we going to get, you know what I mean? Like the classic mainstays of indie games over the past 10 years. Like, we have been doing this podcast long enough where they're making remakes of games that we talked about on the podcast in the first couple years of us doing the podcast.
Yeah.
That's very weird. It's just very weird to me.
I mean, I guess, I would be interested in kind of tracing the lineage of remakes in general. I, you know, it feels like Capcom has always been the most aggressive in remakes because they made the first Resident Evil remakes in like the early 2000s or whatever. And like Resident Evil was like a mid and late 90s franchise. So like, it feels like they've always been, and now they've continued the high profile remake, you know, RE4 and all of the REs. It feels like that stuff, it probably is also a thing about time where it's like probably all remakes happen somewhere around the 10 and 15 year mark. It just so happens to be that like 2010 to us feels like it was closer than it actually was, you know, like we're farther away from that. It's funny you say that because I had forgotten this. And then when I was putting this list together, I saw that they had announced World of Goo Part 2.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Which was one of the early games that kind of influenced our thinking on video games and making a podcast about video games. So it's like now they're making a sequel to that thing.
So what's, I mean, are we going to get like a Trine remake? Like what is it just?
They're still making those Trine games. That's the crazy thing. I'm pretty sure they made a Trine game last year.
Yeah, what's like an old one from the from that era?
It's now, well, this is not an indie game, but like it's, I'm thinking about the like XBLA days or whatever. It's beyond time that Geometry Wars returns.
Dude, I mean, look, finally Battlefield 1943 can get its time to shine again.
We don't need all these modern guns. We need guys on the wings of weird biplanes.
Hell yes.
I mean, yeah, I think there's something to be said for, you know, there's a generation of games that was extremely influential when the space and the people paying attention to them was much smaller.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I feel like even something like,
like the critical space loved it, but it didn't get a wide audience. But now accessibility is high enough. Well, and specifically those developers have built a legacy where you might be familiar with their recent titles and be interested in trying something from the older years.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's those kind of like the don't nods of the world or whatever. Like I feel you know, they're a more recent example, but they have persisted, or actually Remedy. I mean, you know, the studio Remedy has been around, like, you know, Max Payne has been around for a very long time now. But there's probably a whole another group of people that now understand, based off of Control and Alan Wake 2, that, oh, wait, this studio has made a lot of other games.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what game I would like to check out, actually, is whatever Double Fine is working on.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because that's another one of those mystery Microsoft ones, because, like, Microsoft must be working on a bunch of stuff internally, but I haven't heard because they did Psychonauts 2, and then I haven't really heard about what they're working on next. And it feels like Psychonauts 2 was, it was at least well regarded. I don't know how successful it was, but it popped up in a lot of people's lists for sure.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if some of everything is just being sandbagged, like you're saying, for the big announcements, right? Because what you want to do is announce new hardware. And even if it's not coming out this year, like maybe with the Switch likely is.
Yeah.
You announce the next Xbox and you say it's going to launch with these X games, or all of these games are going to be playable on them day one, which includes the latest from Double Fine.
Exactly.
Yeah, I expect us to have a revisit, I guess, probably like at the midpoint of this year, probably like April, maybe even on the earlier side, with like just a new slate of bigger titles we're expecting and anticipating for the year.
I mean, I hate to say it, but I get the sense that Keighley has a lot of stuff in store for the summer.
Bloodborne remake, here it comes.
You know, I mean, it's just because there's kind of a lot of games, but around April, things start to get scant again. But like that can't be for the rest of the year. You know, like there has to be some other stuff happening.
Yep.
Cool. Well, we will. I mean, we don't have to wait long. I mean, a lot of these things are January, February type of games. So it'll be fun to get in front of them and then recap.
See, that just stresses me out, because it's like, George, now you have to play all of your backlog games in the next month.
Nah, just restart Bloodborne again. It'll be fine.
Yeah, just play Bloodborne again. That's a good idea.
All right, experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is the website. You can also find us wherever you find podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, you know the places. Do us a favor, leave us a review, and tell a friend.
All right. Until next time, everyone, thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Ciao.
Every time we disagree, there's a place to go.